I was talking a little earlier because in verse 50 it talked about mercy. Let's see. His mercy goes on from generation to generation to all who love him. That's the way I like to translate that, because we don't need to be afraid of God, but we need to love God and worship him in all. That's really what that word fear means, is to worship him in all. But the question for all of us is this: what will your children and my children inherit? And what about the grandchildren? Would you like them to know God's mercy as you have, or maybe even a little more? And what a wonderful inheritance to pass on to generation to generation. If this is what we want for our children and our grandchildren, then we must help them to learn reverence of the Lord. And mercy is God's gift to us. Reverence is our gift to God. The two work together. Mercy, love, grace, promises of life. So what did happen to Mary? Well, I want to take a couple of minutes and look and see if we can add some thoughts to that. Well, for sure, something strange happened to Mary, or wonderful, whichever way you might want to look at it. And we've all heard the story of Jesus' birth year in and year out. And we celebrate today the birth of Christ, the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. We sing songs of hope and love and joy, and we think good thoughts, and we get ready to celebrate with family and friends with candlelight and cookies, and we feel warm and good inside. Sometimes even a little extra magnanimous, extra kind this time of year. At least some people do. But long ago, before the celebration, God put Mary into an uncompromising position. Did that ever happen to you? Get into an uncompromising position? I think we all have. And sometimes when we discover something new about ourselves and make a significant change in our life, or change our perspective about circumstances that we find ourselves in, it might seem wonderful to simply slip into a monumental life transition, or even go and round the turning points in our life like a NASCAR driver does as they go around that track and go making left turns all the time. With these, it looks like, oh, that's very easy, but most of the time, something uncompromising or something uncomfortable shoves its way in under our skin, and we are forced kicking and screaming into the new reality. I was thinking about a woman that goes through a divorce to get back into the career that she left behind when she got married. And now she's flourishing and growing into that career that she had once before. A new diagnosis causes a man to reevaluate his relationships and the way maybe he had been living his life. The loss of a job, which allows for a new door to open. We always say that when God closes one door, he opens up another one. Better options, better future. And then we got to look back a couple of years ago when we had this COVID-19, which forced a lot of churches to reluctantly close and embrace online worship services. I think the devil kind of took away that personal worship, and he thought, I got that. But you know, it's such a blessing what we've done with these online services. It's like Jim Klein, he's not here to worship with us in person, and we have the online services that he can enjoy way up in West Virginia. I got a cousin in California that listens, and I got a cousin in Texas, and they're just blessed. So I wouldn't be able to minister to them in that way without the online services and the internet. But something strange and something disturbing, something monumental and overwhelming happened one day to that teenage girl in Israel by the name of Mary. She found herself pregnant. an unwedded mother in the midst of an unforgiving society that was ready to stone her if they ever found out. Something terrifying happened to Mary that made the pit of her stomach just feel like it just dropped out. How could she tell her betrothed, Joseph? She was promised to marry Joseph in that society. That's just the way it worked. When you're betrothed, it's like being married, even though you don't go through the official ceremonies. How could she tell him she was already pregnant? How could he ever believe she didn't do anything wrong? Something deeply troubling and confusing happened to Mary. She had no idea what to do about it. I don't know about you, but I often think of Mary's initial humbling response to God when we hear of Mary's condition or predicament. But what happened next is an important in understanding her transition from terror to wonder, from devastation to joy and hope for the future of her country, Israel, and the world. And she went to visit someone that she could trust, to talk to him about it. And she sought the solace of her cousin Elizabeth. Elizabeth had just experienced her own over-the-top miracle. She's an older woman that wouldn't be able to have a child, and she was way past her prime, and she was marrying her entire life up to that. And then she became pregnant, and she would bring forth the prophet John the Baptist. They descended from priestly families, and Elizabeth and Zechariah were faithful people of God, deeply humbled and in a state of deep gratitude for their own role in God's unfolding plan. And when Mary knocked on her cousin's door, not knowing what to do, Mary came to her for help, to the one that she knew that she could trust and not betray her confidence. She hoped for advice and a way to go forward, a way to stay alive and a way to avoid scandal. Elizabeth gave her so much more than that. Elizabeth confirmed her message from the Holy Spirit of God from the angel. Because Elizabeth recognized her role in God's magnificent plan of fulfillment for all humanity, the coming of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. So Elizabeth helped Mary, not only to see how to handle her situation, but she helped her to see honor of her appointment by God. Her predicament was a divine gift. Her potentiality, this horrific situation, was a blessing and an honor. So what does Mary do? She bursts into a song, the Song of Counsel. We call it the Magnificat, for it's an over-the-top proclamation in which Mary realizes her role in God's magnificent act of appearance and God's fulfillment of an age-old promise. The words to the Magnificat chills us to the bone because they are so deeply heartfelt, wrenching and strong in fervor and spirit and hope. Oh, she said, oh, my soul magnifies the Lord. I love that one song that Sandy Patty does. Oh, magnify the Lord, like with the magnifying glass. Magnify the Lord in your own life. That's where we get that from. Here has come to the aid of his child Israel. Magnify the Lord. So what Mary realizes most is that this magnificent God, this creator of all things, the powerful and the mighty God of the ancient prophets, saw and chose her to carry out his incarnation. God manifested in the flesh and dwell among us. So Mary, being young and inexperienced and unknowing of the ways of the world, even from way back then in a simple town in the middle of nowhere, she was seen and touched by God as no other one has ever been before. She was touched by an angel. Although still in her uncompromising position, she had just realized the magnitude of what was happening to her, and then her entire perspective changed. For when you realize that a miracle has entered into your life, and when you realize that God has touched you in a very uncompromising way, and when you realize that God had appointed you, we all have an appointment, by the way, completely change your life and that good things will come your way, and then you too will stand amazed. Stand amazed in the presence of the Nazarene. From that point, Mary's circumstances did a little tweaking, but she moved forward, walking in faith within the promise of God. Her hope for the future heard in her sons have been solidified and her faith has been secured. Her song will live in every heart for eternity to come. The Advent season that we're in now, what an uncompromising position has God put you in your life. And maybe what a blessing in disguise will that God gift within you move forward towards the celebration of a brand new year? How many of us didn't even think about that we are in 2025? Especially if you're as in this world for as long as most of us have in this room, don't seem possible. But what wonders in store for you? What lessons have you learned and will learn? And what new doors will open for you? And where in your life will you discover an undercover miracle? God's still in the miracle business. Always has been. I am one of the miracles. So as we narrow ourselves to the Christmas miracle, these are all questions that we must answer for ourselves. For when our uncompromising position turned into unquestionable miracles, our hearts too will be full, our souls too will magnify the Lord. For no matter what we find before us in our lives, in our churches, on Christmas, we will come to realize that God has seen us and that God has touched us, that in all of this vast world, in all the countless heavens, God has cared for and loved us individually so much that He sent His Son for you and for me. We call Him the Emmanuel, God with us. So how did you respond when you realize that God has touched your life? And how would you react when you realize that your uncompromising position was a blessing in disguise? You ever hear people say that? Ooh, so-and-so was a blessing in disguise. Yeah, that's the way it works. But how will you react when you realize that that uncompromising position was really and truly a blessing in disguise? And how do you know that when things rising up within your heart, you feel so full of joy and joyful. That warm, fuzzy feeling that comes over you when you know that you are blessed also. Because like Mary, you have an appointment. You have an appointment with God, and that'll take place if you trust and believe. You will have that appointment, but then the time before that appointment, you're in preparation. You heard me say it many times, you join man's army, you give you 6 to 8 weeks of basic training, they kick you out and off you go. But when you join the Lord's army, you're in training until He comes for us or we go home to be with Him. So what's that mean? Jesus gave us a clue. He said, in this world you're going to have trials and tribulations, but fear not, I've overcome the world. With the gift and the grace of the Holy Spirit, we can work through anything. Because we have the promised hope that no matter what happens, we have eternal life. And maybe you just explode with a song. I love singing songs. I make up songs. Well, I don't know if I make them up. I write songs. I'm not as good as Travis. He writes some songs. He's working on a couple now, aren't he?
Yes.
What's beautiful about those songs, he says that the greatest sermon ever preached is in the hymnal, if we do one thing, read them. These are somebody's personal testimonies about what God has done in their life. The promise. It's just like Travis. When he writes those songs, he writes it from a perspective of what God has done for him and in him and through him. And then he puts it out and blesses many people who receive. So, as we go through this holiday season, I don't like to call it holiday season, I like to call it holy season. It's just funny how little things just need to be tweaked. Because what they did was they took the holy and made it, took the Y out, put an I in, and then we end up with holiday season. Well, the reason for the season still is Jesus Christ. Our personal relationship with the God that created us.